Let's go ahead and just
all right. We're doing it. This is the Gamers with Coffee commute. Today, it's a lunchtime commute. We've escaped work. We are traveling down the road. I think. Yes.
Yes, it's a road.
Yeah. It's a road.
Paved flat surface lines, rolling hills on either side, airport.
Oh.
Sure, it's a hill. Or a road.
We'll go for that then.
Yeah.
So hopefully everybody's having a good day today. And we're trying to. I know Clint wanted to talk about a few things you said you were going to bring up.
Oh, yeah. I was going to just real quick, because, you know, I posted new BattleTech stuff, which was really an interesting article about playing and just some variances and some variations of it, all sorts of things where you've got an entry-level price point, a mid-level price point, and then you could go whole hog, although going whole hog totals like $300. So it's not really terrible, unless you want all the novels and everything, then yeah, you could go really whole hog.
You mean, see, I didn't get a chance to look at that new post yet.
Yeah.
I seen you posted it, and I didn't get to look at the article. So you mean $300 for all the stuff for BattleTech?
So $300 would get you the expanded box set, and then the two big core books, plus, you know, any additional mechs you want. The reason I'm saying the two core books is, or the technical readouts, that stuff, is that starts letting you do more things than just basic play. So, you know, you build your own mechs, work with fall damage if you fall off a cliff, you know, buying the new mat, which is awesome, but there's actually two of them and they're $30 each. So we'll have to order at least, or have to get one of them at least. I think they're going to be really cool. Still a hex grid, so you're kind of tied to BattleTech with it. Not that it wouldn't work for other games.
Well, that's cool, though, but the maps would probably work for other games, right?
They would. They're just going to have that hex tile and elevation marked on it. So really wouldn't hinder playing tanks or even, you know, Team Yankee Flames of War, really. It just doesn't quite look right because you've got that hex grid. BattleTech needs the hex grid for movement and range and everything because you're not measuring with a ruler. You're using the hex grids.
So do they move X amount of grids?
Yeah,
in other words, like
X amount of hexes plus movement, plus it costs you movement to turn. And but the advanced rules will things like torso twisting, where you maybe your mech's facing one, would be you twist the torso another direction, stuff like that.
So, oh, I get you. So if you're facing straight ahead, you could turn the upper half to the right or something.
So your shoulder mounted weapons and stuff could fire off onto your right or left, or because a mech can technically twist its torso 360 degrees, with the exception of a few mechs. There are a few mechs that just don't have a torso to twist.
Kind of like the Stugs in the tank game.
Fixed
barrels. they can only shoot one way.
Yeah, more like a fixed body in this case. But yes, that's pretty accurate.
So they just shoot straight ahead, line of sight type
of
thing.
So you're walking, you're turning your mech. It's find it interesting that Dee posted that she was interested in playing BattleTech. I really didn't think that would be up her alley. But I mean, it's cool if she wants to, because it's really going to be a cheap outlay. Even for you, it's going to be an almost non-existent outlay. Because really all it needs is the main box set, and we can play. That's it. You want to buy mechs, that's fine. If you want to buy books, that's fine. If you just want to buy the rule book, it's $10 for the little mini play rule book by itself.
So it's pretty cost-effective.
Yeah, it's pretty cost-effective. I mean, that deluxe set is $60, but you get a lot with that deluxe set. It's worth the $60. I got to admit, they really made that worthwhile. But then the books that I want to get, like the Total Warfare book, which covers all the really advanced rules in mech building, it's only $40. So if you bought the main advanced set and the Total Warfare book, you invested $100. You got 18 mechs. I can't remember. They give you quite a bit of mechs to actually use. All their stat cards, the rules to modify them any way you want, so adding different weapons, armor configurations, whatever. All the advanced rules, a map to play on, whole bunch of good stuff for really a $100 investment. Not a bad deal at all.
Well, that'd be about the price of a video game.
Yeah, really.
Most of them these days are $100, and then $79 to $99. Yeah. Then you need the downloadable content, so...
Yeah,
so miniature gaming is on par with most video gaming price wise. Yeah,
you just do more with miniature gaming down the road. At some point, I want to sit down and discuss War Machine with you. I think you'd be interested. It's a fantasy miniature game that is kind of steampunky, I guess would be the easiest way.
Okay.
It does have a role playing element as well, which I have the books for. But I think really War Machine would be something you down the road would be interested. Now, that is a little bit more of an investment, but not terrible, depending on what you want to do.
Well, see, all the games, to me, I don't mind because you're going to spend the money anyways, right? So,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you buy a video game or a board game or a tabletop game. Either way, you're making an investment. It's just a matter of what you're getting for your investment, I guess.
Well, in the War Machine stuff, I have a lot of my stuff, the faction that I play. I already have most of it. And it was going to just consider selling it because we're not playing, but then I got thinking, well, geez, what if we get into it? Then I'm going to rebuy all this stuff. And half my stuff's painted and ready to go, and it just wasn't worth getting rid of it, especially when the old stuff is just as playable as the new stuff. You just need basically the new cards.
What is the scale on that, Clint? Is it a 28 or 32?
Yeah, I think it's 28. It's right on par with your Warhammer and War, all that.
Okay.
Then there's also the Hordes, which is basically more primal, where War Machine will have guns, gunpowder technology, piston-driven weapons, fire, stuff like that. Hordes is more beasts, monsters, magic.
Sounds like some scary...
Yeah.
Family reunion.
Yeah.
The Horde is here. Ah, do we bring enough food? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah.
So. It's something we'll touch base on, and I'll probably put a little bit up on the Facebook page just as a, hey, this is War Machine. This is what Hordes looks like. This is what, all that looks like. Just so people can see it. Your wife would love some of the miniatures. She would really be all about. I see your wife actually be more of a Hordes player than a War Machine player, to be honest. Now, to be fair, though, the religious zealot, the Menoth group, they're all about fire and burning things, and their white robes and their war tacks, and, oh yeah, you get mechs. You get steam-powered mechs that are always fun.
So, it's a combination of mechs, role-playing, and...
Yeah, it can be.
And other stuff.
I mean, War Machine has Iron Kingdoms, which is the RPG side of it. You can use the miniatures, but you don't have to. It's just the role-playing side of it. The world is the same, the continent, all the factions, everybody's the same. Just, it's not, not dependent on miniatures.
Yeah.
Same kind of rule system. I mean, everything plays about the same. You're actually rolling the same dice, same effects. So it could easily translate. I know I just gravitated from Battletech to War Machine. Now we're off.
Well, it sounds like it's some of the same premise, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of... I mean, miniature gaming is really coming to the forefront these days, so... I think that's just... People are more open to it, too, or they didn't even know it was there to begin with. They knew about board games, like Risk and all that, but... Like I had said before, things like Fallout crossed over, so...
Yeah,
Fallout, was popular with the video game series. Now they have the tabletop miniatures, which are very nicely done. Are they not, Clint?
They're really nicely
done. And that box set, I have to say, I think you get your money's worth. I mean, there's no complaint on that. So
I hear Resident Evil is going to make a transition.
Yeah, that was on Kickstarter last I knew. Yeah. And I think, you got a huge Resident Evil base that just kind of, people don't know is there, so if they bring that out, they get that finished. And I don't know if they did or not. I'll be honest with you, last year I thought I saw it on Kickstarter. The wife was interested because she likes Resident Evil. There's a lot of these games that can transition to the table rather easily. And sometimes it's a good idea to take a break, from one or the other.
True.
Hey, with the summer storms coming and power outages and all the fun stuff that happens in summer, these games you don't need to worry about having Wi-Fi for.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if your lines are down for a day or two while they're fixing them, guess what? You can still game. You don't have to worry about, can you get on, Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network. So.
I find it interesting. I was listening to your podcast this morning, the one you posted the other night.
Oh, last night I did that about... the Stadia, that is actually going to be pretty interesting, man.
It is, but you made a very good point about anymore. It seems like almost all video games are now dependent on internet. You can't play well without the internet.
Which I think is wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you should be, because So I'm an older gamer, so that multiplayer was when you could sit down, like with James Bond, the 007 game for the Nintendo. It was the first time you could get four people on the same screen. Now, here's what I don't understand. You could get four people on the screen on that older system,
yeah,
and it functioned flawlessly while four of you were doing four yep. different things. Yet you got a new, all this new technology, and half of them can't handle split screening with yep. another person. I just find that ironic. But I think it's done on purpose, because this way, they don't want a family sharing a console. They want a console for every member in the yeah. family. And I just, you know, the greed is kind of there, so...
It sadly is, yes.
You know, having to be online just to play a game should not be ever... Just shouldn't be. Because what if you're out of work or in between jobs or, you know, you can't afford your internet bill that month, because let's face it, a lot of us have been there.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, shit, $100 a month in some cases. Yeah,
well,
no
yeah.
kidding.
But, so it shouldn't be reliant just that you're hooked to the internet. And the second drawback to that, I think, would be you're hooked to the internet. You have to have some imagination. You have to be able to not just be hooked on electronics 24/7. That's my personal view. I think it just should be like anything else in moderation. Hey, if you're going to game... Game a little bit of all stuff. Don't miss out because you're just only a tabletop player or only a video game player, you know, or only a card player.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of things out there that you could do with your friends as opposed to just one thing is all.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Well, like Evie, your daughter there, Clint, she loves
Minecraft.
And like I said before, when I first seen it, I thought, wow, this is dumb. But actually, you can build whatever you want. It's pretty creative. The only drawback is I need more than 15 minutes. I can't sit yeah. down for an hour.
Yeah.
I need at least an hour, because if I'm going to build something, I want to try to
yeah.
finish it. But that's a creative type of game also. So
yeah.
But yeah, that Stadia device, the concept is not new. I believe there was a company years ago called One Live or Live One or something like that. They had that premise, but Google simply has a ton of money. They are everywhere. So they're going to push us forward. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, the lunch break is almost over already, too.
Yeah.
And it's been fun, though. Do you have anything else to say, Clint?
I don't for this one. We'll
don't
do
for this
one soon.
All right. Yeah. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. We appreciate it. Again, like I always say, join us on the Facebook group. It's free. And you can talk about any kind of gaming. We're not going to be upset if you talk about something other than miniatures, because that's what it's there for. So post your ideas or what you want to talk about, and give us some ideas on shows or videos you guys want to see. All right. All right.
Cool.
All right. You guys have a good day. Thank you.